thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome as her guest WPRI.com politics economics reporter Ted Nesi. Thank you for joining us, Ted.
Always great to be here, Ian.
It's Thanksgiving week, so we're going to take part in our usual tradition where we talk about stories that we were thankful for in 2017. Why don't you kick us off, Maureen?
Well, given the chaos at the federal level, the first thing I want to say is I am grateful that I am living in a relatively well-governed state. We're doing just fine, especially compared to the national level. There was a story last week, for example, where while the national Republicans are trying to dismantle the Affordable Care Act, we, in fact, are doing fine with Health Sorts Rhode Island. 30,000 people are insured. Our rates are staying steady. They expect to expand coverage. So in cases like that, I'm very grateful that, relatively speaking, this is a well-governed state with responsible people at the helm.
Well-governed state. Some people might disagree with you on that, but I'll go into the story that I was thankful for. We political reporters in Rhode Island like to call Rhode Island the state that keeps on giving, and not to be a bummer by raising the specter of 38 studios, but I reported in July on how the company that was the financial advisor in the 38 studios deal, First Southwest, and now known as Hilltop Securities, continues to do work for a full one-third of Rhode Island's 39 municipalities. That, to me, was a pretty striking finding, and Rhode Island's a great place to be a political reporter, as we know, Ted. So what story for you were you thankful for?
Well, I was thinking about it, Ian. It can be tough because often the stories we're sort of thankful for as reporters are bad news to everybody else because they're the ones that are interesting and get people talking. But one story that definitely made an impact on me this year was the business about Frank Montanaro and his tuition that Tim White reported on. Tim White and I reported on over the summer. You know, part of why I think of it is less the salaciousness of, or you know, the controversy around Mr. Montanaro getting $50,000 in free tuition after going to the State House. It was the response from people. I've never gotten so many emails and feedback from people saying, thank you for exposing this. Thank you for looking into this. And, you know, that makes me thankful because we do this to report things that the readers and the viewers are interested in.
Do you think that reaction was triggered by how Montanaro's benefit was, I believe, worth about $150,000 a year? And in Rhode Island, that's a lot of money to people who are making a lot less.
I've been told, Ian, I'm sure you have too, that that is a big part of what people reacted against, just finding out how high some of the top salaries are at the legislature. I think we all know that a story people understand is the most dangerous one for people in politics. Sometimes the arcane stuff we cover, they don't understand at home. Everyone understands what it's like to try to pay for college or knows about it. And so the idea of someone seemingly gaming the system a bit to get that for free at a public college really, really hit people the wrong way.
Scott McKay, what story were you thankful for in 2017?
Well, first of all, I don't think the state's very well governed, and I think people know that. If you think it's well governed, Maureen, sign up for UHIP.
This is Thanksgiving, and I thought we'd be positive. I didn't expect outrages.
No, I'll be positive.
Pass the cranberry sauce.
I'll take it after the gravy. I'm actually grateful that Teresa Tanzi and the folks in the legislature did spearhead that bill to keep weapons away from serious domestic abusers. I think that's something that's really, really necessary. We look around the country and we see a lot of these lone wolves, mainly demented white males, frankly, doing this. And I think the harder we make it for some of these people to get guns, the better off we're going to be as a society. We're seeing these mass shootings, and often, too many times, when you read the stories or you hear them on NPR or television, CBS, whatever it is, Ted, you find out that there's a history of domestic abuse in the backgrounds of these murderers.
Let's stay with Scott and give us your Rhode Island political turkey of 2017.
Well, it's easy to start with a lot of them. I'm still upset about the Curt Schilling thing. I'm upset that Don Cachiri and Gordon Fox, neither of them have ever told us what really happened there, and I think we wish we knew.
There's so many political turkeys in Rhode Island. We've seen misbehavior by a lot of elected officials, including former House Finance Chairman Ray Gallison. But I'd like to point to a little bit of a broader trend. There used to be a wide recognition by Americans of the threat posed by what was then the Soviet Union. Some of us can remember a television ad used by Ronald Reagan's presidential campaign where the Soviet Union was likened to a dangerous bear in the woods. And now with hacking of the U.S. elections and the misinformation campaign coming from Russia still being issues that we continue to find out more about, it seems like the reaction to this among Democrats and Republicans breaks in very different ways along partisan lines. And that strikes me as unfortunate. But let's go to Maureen for your turkey of 2017.
Well, my turkey of 2017 was Frank Montanaro, but of course you already alluded to that. So my second choice would be the hierarchy of the Diocese of Providence that have really totally not taken up responsibility for the cuts in the Fatima Hospital St. Joseph pension failure. And to say that they were going to pray for these people is really outrageous. And I think that's my second award for the turkeys of the year in Rhode Island.
Ted Nesi, who is your Rhode Island political turkey for 2017?
You know, mine came to me just in the last week, and it's actually, I'd say, the Rhode Island economy, which it's kind of disappointing, with especially when you compare some of the rhetoric, that the idea that the economy's, you know, coming toward a boom or something. And then you look, there was an economic report out earlier this month that really had a lot of gloomy forecasts about very slow population growth, very slow payroll growth in the state. Even our sectors like finance and business, where we have some strength, we have lower level jobs, education behind Massachusetts. And then that dovetailed with the fact that state revenue is not meeting expectations and has been put down. We have big deficits this fiscal year and next year. I mean, I think, you know, we are a number of years into a big economic expansion nationwide. And if the Rhode Island economy is this on this much shaky ground now, I fear what would happen if when we have another recession.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Maureen, why don't you react to that, since there's Ted is painting a little bit of a darker view than the optimism you expressed.
Well, although I love Maureen's optimism.
Well, all right. I mean, the thing is that as far as the deficits are concerned, I mean, these aren't any different than they are, you know, what we're expecting about the budget. And the economy is growing slowly, but it's moving in the right direction. I think I'm optimistic about what's happening in the future. I don't feel as negative as you do about it. And one of the other things I wanted to add to it, which sort of feeds into what you're saying, is one of my other positive things about what I'm thankful for is I am thankful for a much more rigorous and multidimensional press that has a lot of different perspectives, and it's more complete in its coverage. So in a way, your negativity speaks to my positivity about the one thing in Rhode Island is I think the press is much improved on a lot of levels, and we should be grateful for that.
I'm grateful to hear it.
Maureen, just for that, we're going to give you a slice of pumpkin pie. Last word here to Scott McKay. How do you see the economic outlook in Rhode Island for 2018?
You know, I'm a little closer to Ted than Professor Moakley on this one. I'll tell you why. If you look, peer beneath the veneer of a lot of the statistics, a lot of what's going on. I was talking to one of Maureen's colleagues, Rick McIntyre, the chairman of the URA Economics Department, yesterday. He made some of these same observations that I'm thinking about, which is, unfortunately, we're creating the jobs we're creating, for instance, in the tourism business, are not as good middle-class jobs as what we're losing in economics. And also, healthcare hiring has stalled, and that's not good for the state.
All right, we're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here, and happy Thanksgiving.
Maureen?
Happy Thanksgiving all.
And from WPRI.com, Ted Nesi?
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
And a very happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners. We'll be back next week with lots more Rhode Island political news.